Yo, so the opinions and views expressed in this podcast are that of our own and the Future Bachelor podcast only, and not affiliated with any outside party or entity or anything like that. This fun podcast, though, may include some adult language.
Future Bachelor podcast. What we gonna do right here is go back.
Way back.
Way back. Back into time.
Yeah, baby, baby, Future Bachelor. B, we starting off with this vibe right now.
That we are.
If you take your love away from me, I'll go crazy. I'll go insane.
Growing up to this song, feeling all these things. Don't leave. Oh my gosh. Ridiculous thinking back. Oh, here we go. Yo, yo.
You got your problems, baby, and I got mine. Let's get spend it all by putting it together.
I'm gonna try all my runs on this one.
And I really, really want you to stay.
Oh, okay.
With a frustration, I hold inside. But if you won't go,
come on,
away,
sing it with me, V. Everyone.
Did we?
And welcome to Future Bachelor. My name is Sai.
And I'm Veronica.
And we talk about everything pop culture, dating, and Bachelor.
This episode, we are covering some inaugural memes, cat-killing Teslas, and the Sarah Show, aka this week's episode of The Bachelor.
And this is episode 148. Hey.
So, yes, the cat.
Had to use that. You know, had to start off with that vibe. There's something about, you know, I think the original sample of that is a El DeBarge song. And then it goes, like, I think, like, Tupac might have sampled that. Then that version came out. It's been sampled a couple more times throughout the years. But Don't Leave Me by Blackstreet is, like, a classic. Like, I made a version of it called Don't Need You when I was a kid. Don't need you, girl. I was going through something, I think, back then. But
wow, you were going through something.
It always comes back to the original because now you're singing, don't leave. And you just don't want them to leave. And it's just one of those songs where you can just hear it in the singer's voice that he was just, and all the singers that, don't go, baby, don't go.
Wow.
So, guys, with that little spin down memory lane, why don't we just like bring it back a little bit, you know what I'm saying? V, you know, this is week two of your birthday episodes. Why don't we talk about you a little bit? What's been going on? I see you got some new presents.
I do, yes. For those who will see our promo and who watch us on the tube, I am wearing one of my new presents is a hat from Gigi Pip.
Nice.
And I'm like that kind of bitch now. Actually, this shirt's a present too. So I'm just really leaning in. But yeah, so celebrated my birthday this past weekend.
I got like a drop going behind you right now. So.
Oh, I didn't even realize. I could barely hear.
It's all good. It's the drop that gets us taken out on YouTube, so it's good to cut it short and talk over it. But anyways, how are you doing?
I talked over it then.
Yeah.
But so we went ice skating for my birthday, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was the first time I went ice skating, by the way.
I know. You did well. I told you, if you've rollerbladed before, it's very similar. So
I felt very, you know, and lifted up by your guys, you know, praise of my skating. But when I got back to the boys, they were all kind of...
Yeah, it was very much so. It was like all the boys were sitting and watching and the girls were skating and you guys were like the little judges because you were all in a line just like watching other people fall or fail or like whatever and just like cackling. You guys were truly like...
It was really funny. I don't know what it is, guys, but I promise you if one of the best times ever is having a drink with some buddies and watching people ice skate. It's the best thing ever. But I was the only boy... At your birthday skate that actually was on both sides of the of you
yes,
know.
Yes, you did skate. You did get on the rink.
Because when I came back, all the fellas were like mad at me because they were like expecting to see me fall or something like that. And I was they were just like they're like you skated before.
I know because you kind of hustled them because you were like I've never skated before. So
you'll never know, guys. You'll never know. Maybe I'm just good at things the first time. Beginner's luck. But yeah. So how was the rest of your birthday? That was fun.
It was good. You know, it was.
We had gone to Tiki Tango and we had
done that. You and me and Andy had gotten some pre birthday festivities in as well. So yeah,
but we had I had met that girl that night that we ended up seeing like two times.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive. And I was
honestly I was surprised that like we then ran into her again.
Yeah,
so.
She's not even from here, which is crazy.
No. She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go so. Here. Danny DeVito, I love your work. All right, well, that's what's up. But yeah, it was you know, good. You got some roses, so that was dope. I was able to give out some roses.
I did get some roses. I got some cute gifts and cards from all of you.
Yeah.
And from a lot of my other friends and obviously family. So
hell yeah.
I'm very blessed. I'm hashtag blessed out here.
That's what's up. Well, listen, is there anything else that you want to say about your birthday, you know, now that we're kind of closing down on it?
You know. I don't really know. It's I feel like it definitely felt different. I have had some of like the post birthday sads, just because it definitely is like not the same as past birthdays because of, you know, circumstances out of our control. I.e. the pandemic. But you know, I'm excited. 27 feels like a little bit more, I don't know, I feel like I'm in it now. I don't know.
Yeah. I could see you got new things happening all around you, you know, even on top of your head. So,
indeed.
Yo, so I guess, you know, the next obvious question I need to ask you is, what are you watching? What are you watching?
Okay. I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
I haven't really been watching that much this past week.
Understandable.
But I have, you know, because, you know, I was watching me do my thing. Mm-hmm. But I have MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, mm-hmm. released his little, like, pseudo visual album / musical video / movie thing called Downfalls High, which has, it stars Chase Hudson, a.k.a. Lil Huddy, and Sydney Sweeney, who is from Euphoria. She's gorgeous. And it's kind of like supposed to like play through the different acts of, you know, kind of like a troubled teen and a fast and like romance and stuff like that. So I have only watched like half of it. It's an interesting thing. And it's like sort of like based on some of what MGK grew up doing and having. And it's supposed to just be very conceptual, but it's like his own version of Grease almost. It's just weird. I don't know. I'm enjoying it because I love MGK, but it's interesting. I feel like the visual albums thing, I don't know how I feel about it ever. Like Beyonce did it and I loved hers, and I feel like other people do it and it
can
be good.
Like,
but
I don't know. To me, it's coming off like his whole thing right now kind of comes off a little corny to me. Like it should hit me more nostalgic, but it's more corny to me because I feel like instead of like it doesn't feel like he's really like paying tribute, or it just kind of seems like he's a poser. Like, you know, it's just like,
really? You rapping think wasn't with, working. Even with like Travis Barker with him the entire time? Like, I don't know about
I mean, I think he's taking advantage of the fact that Travis Barker wants to stay relevant. Like, you know, I mean, Blink 182 is not what Blink 182 was right now. And Blink 182 can't even do Blink 182. So you're not going to get Machine Gun Kelly to convince me he can do Blink 182 right now. You know what I'm saying? Blink 182 doesn't even have like all the real original members. So it's like, to me, that might as well be Blink 182 then, because you got like the best person from at this moment in your shit. But regardless, the way it comes off is like it didn't work out with rap, so he kind of went back to something where like his looks still kind of worked for it. And yeah. You know, it, I don't know. And this, and I also don't like Lil Huddy, so it's just like
I hate Lil Huddy.
Yeah,
I'd like Lil Huddy being in this. Lil Huddy looks like the kind of like scrawny motherfucker that I would easily punch out. Like, I just have no love for him.
And,
I don't know.
And then also, I'm a huge fan of Grease, so if it's attacking that at this moment, you just hit me with the three strikes. So.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Like, you know? It's like more of like people are like, oh, it's the vibe, but it's not. I wouldn't even compare it.
I think you
directly
need to step up what you've been watching. That's all I'm saying. Well, what I've been, I might as well, let me talk about
what
I've been watching.
What have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching some good shit. What, actually, the best shit that's come out this week. You know,
I know. I wanted to watch WandaVision.
Well, you should also want to watch the other thing I watched, but let's start with WandaVision. I actually watched the first two episodes of WandaVision, and you know, it's kind of funny because I feel like this show is actually perfectly made for me because I grew up watching only these old shows like Lucy and like Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and all these things. So, and Dick Van Dyke and all this stuff. So it's like the show is highly based off of those shows, at least the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. And also I'm a huge fan of Marvel and the continuity of all the stories and characters and stuff. So the show is very unlike anything you see in a Marvel. There's a taste of like where that's going and stuff, but it's very confusing at first. But, I don't know. It's something that I'm enjoying as a fan of all those different types of things I just kind of said. So I'm very excited to see where WandaVision goes, how it connects to the new upcoming movies that are coming out, like the new Spider-Man or the new, what's it called? Doctor Strange and all that. So definitely check it out. It's a good show. It's like one long movie. So, you know, check out there. I think they're
Are they coming
episodes.
Out with more episodes?
Yeah, they're just dropping. Like, I mean, I think the smart strategic thing is to not drop a show all at once like Netflix does. I think Netflix now that's their gimmick, so they don't want to give it up, but like legit I feel like it's doing a better service to the other like digital streaming services by releasing like one or two shows to get you going and then weekly dropping them after that, because it's just like you want and then you drop a movie or something every week with those. So it's like not only are they coming back to watch that show, but then they're going to stay and watch this movie. You know, Netflix plans on dropping like a dope ass movie every week now, which I think
is a
good idea. So maybe they're doing the opposite where they'll get you with the movies and then you'll stay to watch like, you know, into a show or something and binge it. So I watched that. Another movie that just came out that's pretty incredible. I still got to like think about like the research of it all, but it's called One Night in Miami and it's, I guess like it's a fictional account of this one night after like a Muhammad Ali like he won a fight, a huge fight. I forgot who he was beat. He played, but he was also very close with Malcolm X and who's the other people that were there?
Is it James Brown? Who is it? Somebody.
So it was a football player, and then who's the other person? I'm like.
Hang on, I'm looking it up. Keep talking.
Oh, Sam Cooke. How could I forget that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just incredible people like in one room and essentially Malcolm X is, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, trying to convince them of doing more with their fame and celebrity for, you know, black people and stuff. And just like the conversation around it with four different black, prominent black men at the time and their outlooks on like how they're, they think they're, you know, doing good for their people or, you know, or not. So I think it's, and the acting is so good in it. Obviously nowadays that I've, you know, it's the week two of my acting classes I've done. You know, those are the things I'm like looking at, you know, movies,
for sure.
Movies
yeah.
that, you know, are actually like based in like one, like pretty much the whole movie's in this one hotel room. So it's like,
yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, all that one night, right?
Yeah. So check it out. Definitely a great movie. Amazon Prime original. If you got that, get on that. Yep. So, but V, why don't we take a little trip to where we like to go called Quick Hits? What do we got for Quick Hits? Hey.
All right. So today, the day that we are recording, is a big day for the country, as it is the inauguration day of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So that was a thing that happened today. But before we could even get there, Trump, of course, you know, made some pardons, and included in his pardons were Lil Wayne and Kodak Black for different like drug and like guns charges, I think, that they had.
I mean, essentially the way I read it was that, like, I mean, you saw a couple months ago Lil Wayne came out and publicly endorsed
supporting
Trump.
Supporting him,
that. And obviously that was a handshake gesture, because he's like, I'll do this for you. And honestly, you know, I don't think it's funny because, like, the screen is blurring you out when you turn your head like that. So you're just one big blur in a shirt. But essentially what Lil Wayne, like, you know, what he did, I think, is a pretty G move. I mean, whether or not, you know, it's the rest of his life. Like, you know, when people have been talking about snitching nowadays, like the most, like, like Pharrell, like, I've seen this clip of him being like, I will snitch on you. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give up my whole life. You know, Lil Wayne has never really lived anything by besides his own life. You know, he's one of those people that doesn't really, I mean, he does his own things, I think, for people, but you don't hear him coming out being like, speaking for the people. Like, I don't think he wants to be that for anybody besides the music he makes. And I mean, you see those type of things. The Kodak Black one is a little different. I don't know how that worked out or whatever. People were really wanting Bobby Shmurda, but that one's a little bit probably
People wanted Bobby Shmurda, but that didn't happen. So
any other ones that people were expecting but didn't see?
Not really that I can see. People were just more surprised that, like, he pardoned Steve Bannon, but that's just because they had such a weird relationship. So,
yeah, the way I read that one too is that, like, he got caught up in political, like, something where it was just like, as a matter of circumstances, he got in trouble, but it was because of all the stuff we needed, like, to get done.
Yeah.
So whatever. What else we got?
So just some quick hits of the inauguration today, because, you know, there was some main celebs there.
Yeah.
There was Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga, she performed the Star Spangled Banner. And
made the whole thing feel like the Hunger Games.
Literally, she was wearing an outfit like as if she was from like District, I don't know, 5.
But it's kind of funny, though, like, you put one person in that outfit in the middle of that whole setting, the whole thing looks like Hunger Games.
It really does. It's like, it was so bizarre. And also just the arrangement of Star Spangled Banner that they did was very, very strange. J-Lo came out in all white.
I'm surprised they didn't
pick
somebody black to like sing the Star Spangled Banner. Like, you're going to pick like Lady Gaga.
Because Lady Gaga's been on like different parts of like the campaign stuff.
Could see them like doing Lady Gaga like two presidents ago, but like, come on. There's better people we could be getting for the inauguration of these things.
Well, then they had J-Lo, which is an interesting, you know, thing, just knowing that she's Puerto Rican and Puerto Rico can't even vote for our president, even though they are ruled by them.
I think she was making a statement there.
Yeah. So then but the internet has been buzzing about a couple of people. Bernie, because of his little like sit with his little mittens on that a constituent made him, and just his very much so like unbothered attitude.
Dude, I saw something. It was like, why does Bernie Sanders look like the inauguration was just like one of the things on his to-do list today?
Yes, I saw that meme too. And it's literally like, I'm like, yeah, he's just like unbothered by it. He's like, and we go, here we go. And Michelle Obama fucking slayed all these hoes with her like perfect like maroon wine colored outfit. Like, she just fucking with the beautiful, her hair was laid to the point that Twitter, the word laid was trending on Twitter because like people are all like, damn, like her hair is laid with a bang, everything. Like, people were going crazy for how Michelle Obama looked. She was just like drip, drip.
Yeah.
Walking through.
I think they made Michelle Obama the Beyonce of the first ladies. So
she is. So
it's like she's got her hive now. So it's like, just whatever. Take it. She can't do no wrong.
Man, we love Michelle. But anyways, and then Amanda Gorman is this young black woman who was the youngest inaugural poet who performed for the inauguration as well. So we love to see baby steps of equality and progress.
Cool.
I would like to see bigger ones, but we're getting there. All right.
Well, you know, we got a whole new chapter starting with the world, but what else is going on in our little pop culture world?
Well, Amanda Bynes is starting her own new chapter by releasing a rap song called Diamonds. She raps with this rapper named Young Yogi. I don't know who they are. And then also her fiance, whose name is Paul Michael. Not really sure who he is either, because they're randoms. But she's, you know, talking about diamonds on her wrist, and this is part of her new journey of self-discovery.
I think she's tried something like this like 10 years ago or something, but at this point,
probably
the world we live in, it's you know, I could see her. We have our bad babies that we use as drops on the show. We have our Miley Cyruses. Like, she's a mix between both of that shit.
Okay, Miley and Cyrus Lindsay is actually Lohan very talented though.
Yo, I mean, I could see, I mean, she had like a little Amanda Bynes season when she was like,
yes,
you know, going through her shit. So it's like, there would be no Miley Cyruses without Amanda Bynes. That's what I'll try to say.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Amanda Bynes kind of led the way of that generation of young girls that were on the come up. Like, who was Amanda Bynes before that? Really? I can't think of it, but she kind of made it popular as shit. Like, even she wasn't even one of the original members of All That, but she's still like looked at as one of the OGs of it, you know? And because she went on, like just as big as Keenan and Kel, she went on to do the Amanda Bynes show. So I give her a lot of credit, but I come from that age, and I can remember how popular she was.
No, I mean, I love Amanda Bynes. Like, and I mean, she definitely became a pop cultural thing with, like, when she kind of went off the deep end with drugs and everything, and, like, inviting everybody random to her birthdays and, you know, saying stuff about Drake.
I mean, if there were
Drake,
no Amanda Bynes, I don't know if there would be any Miley Cyruses today to be able to say that they're successful and couldn't see the things that Amanda Bynes or Lindsay Lohans did and before them, you know? So,
true.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stand for Amanda like that.
You really went for it. I was like, okay, fine.
Sorry,
I wasn't coming for her.
I know you weren't. I wasn't trying to, like, cape her either. Anyways, what else we got?
So Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas are officially done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the full quarantine and pandemic of all the pictures of them walking, holding hands, being so in love, walking their dogs, whatever. It's all over. And it really ended in a dramatic way because for some reason he had a life-size cutout of her in his home, and so it was seen.
What is it, Saved by the Bell? Like, that's what, like, Zach, like, Morris has, like, a cutout of Kelly Kapowski, like, with a volleyball.
Like, literally. And so it was seen, you know, somebody was seen taking that out of his house and putting it in the trash can in the front. And, like, very, it seemed very deliberate, too, because it was, like, little Ana de Armas, like, all, like, laid out and whatever. And it's, like, they were just, like, shoving it in there. Like, you couldn't have even, like, folded it. You couldn't have, like, gotten rid of it somehow.
Or burned it. Yeah, just buried it. I don't know. Like, you know, throwing it in the trash can that has, like, a top. You know, let's make it really dramatic. This is the best way to get all your side chicks to hit you up without having to send out a mass text. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, TMZ being all like, well, you know, I'm done.
Yeah. So, actually, we need to get this running list written down, but, legit, remember when I asked you about my celebrity crushes? This is definitely one of them. She is one of my,
I love Ana de Armas. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ana de Armas. She's, I mean, yeah, I remember seeing her in, what was the Knives Out and stuff. And she was like cute in that, but then like seeing like other like stuff of her like out on the red carpet or whatever. And I was like, damn, wait a second.
I just watched over Christmas. I watched this movie with my sister and Victor. We watched it. It has Keanu Reeves and her. And I think Eli Roth's girlfriend at the time were like these girls. It's called Knock Knock. It's on Netflix. Check it out.
Oh,
it's
yes. Okay, wait. Yes, I remember you brought that up because then I looked it up and I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, she's, I mean, she's great in that. Anyways, all right, guys. What else we got? We start to think about
all
that.
All right, so your boy, Charlie Puth, tweeted something.
This this is a little exclusive for all of our listeners right now, because I honestly haven't been seeing this anywhere. So if we call it a day before or the day of that, you know, Drizzy's album is dropping on the 21st of January, this Thursday.
So I eat the day that this podcast comes out.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy, because who else would be able to give you this type of information besides person that I'm getting it from? I'm getting it from Charlie Puth. When would you ever get your Drake news from Charlie Puth? Right here on Future Bachelor.
Right here, right now.
We made a connection. So, yeah, that's very exciting. I mean, if you just surprise us all with an album tomorrow, like it'll probably be Thursday at midnight. I'm guessing it's going to be like into Friday, and it's going to be the craziest thing this weekend. I mean, I'm guessing it's going to have music on there for Valentine's Day. I'm guessing it's going to have music on there for, I don't know, but Drake's going to drop some fire. And it's
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I need new music. Like, I mean, I promise you, like, having this podcast actually tells me, like, you know, I'm reaching for like songs to play for Slapper of the Week. Not because there's not good songs, but just like not new songs. I have songs I can show you guys that like are like from a month ago or something, but it's like, it's really hard. I'll go through like new music and nothing really impresses me. But I did find one this week. And but yeah, so Charlie Puth with, you know, the scoop. That's what's up. Charlie, thanks for sending that over.
Yeah, and Charlie tweeted that on my birthday, I guess. So,
oh, wow. Comes full circle.
It always comes back. Yeah. It always comes back.
He probably meant to do it on my birthday, but the date's just lying better. Anyways, okay. V, what made you go yikes this week? Something that just made you go, like, completely yikes.
All right. Well, Jamie Lynn Spears took to her Instagram story to reprimand Elon Musk, saying that he needs to do something about Teslas because they are killing cats because they're so yes.
Yo, I don't
they're
like
so,
they're so quiet, right? Like you
they're
can't,
so quiet.
They
so when they start up.
And actually, it's funny that this comes up because, like, legit a week ago, you know, Andy has his Tesla and he was like backing up and it sounded like the Jetsons, like, and I'm like, that's crazy that it makes that noise. And he's like, yeah, now it has to make that noise when it backs up. So it's like very light. It's like, but if you don't hear that car, like Clark Howard let me drive his car at the back of the company one time. And legit.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was so scared because like I pushed my thing on the and it was like, and it goes fast, but you expect it to be like, vroom, but it doesn't. It's just like, it's like crazy. So I mean, Jamie Lynn Spears, I mean, I saw the KFC take on it,
the KFC's Minuteman, which I'm telling him he got to keep those down close to a minute. He's been really going to like 3 or 4
but
lately.
I do like his rants though. I mean, I do, because he is a type of person, like, I don't just like to like, but he always brings up, he's usually talking about one of the most popular things of the week. So I mean, his take on it was pretty legit. He's like, yo, like one cat, okay, but two cats, but she's making it sound like if it's more than two, you got a problem. It's a you problem. Like, you got to stop getting cats. Or
she confirmed that she wasn't the one running over cats, that other people are running.
Of course, now it's not her. It's her sister,
right? I'm like, but wait a second.
We're never going to see Brittany, man. We're never going to see Brittany. This is not helping. First of all, this is not helping Brittany's movement, the Free Brittany movement. This is not helping my stocks go up. So, and I, you know me, I got a Jamie Lynn Spears shirt I wear like every other week.
You do.
So,
you do.
Jamie, come on, yo. I'm a big fan. Why are you doing this to us? Like,
wow, you're just standing for all these old Nickelodeon stars today.
I told you, man. I had the biggest crush on Harriet the Spy. Oh, my goodness.
Dude,
Parent
I
Trap.
Loved that movie. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, but I was, I mean, it was, I was, they were older than me at the time. So let's not make this weird. Okay guys. Well, yikes. Jamie Lynn Spears, there's so many other cars. And a good point that KFC actually said too, it's like, this girl's like a country singer now and stuff. So it's like, bitch, why do you got a Tesla? You should be in one of those trucks that like takes up a bunch of gas or something, right? Like,
well, yeah. And they're like from, where are they from originally? Like Kentucky
some
or something?
Place, yeah.
Like, yeah, so...
Well, anyways, why don't we get into The Bachelor this week?
You know what? Let's.
Do we have any other news that we want to talk about before we get into this week's episode?
Yes, let's talk about some other Bachelor news really quick before we get into the episode. Mm-hmm. The biggest news, well, we'll start small and get big. Small news was that Bree and Chris, who was, you know, the golden couple of Listen to Your Heart, they have broken up.
I did not even know that one. What?
Aww. Yes, they broke up recently. Which
I
makes
could actually
me sad.
See that coming.
I mean, it makes me sad because, like, they made music together. They seemed, like, pretty legit. They did have, like, I think a minor, like, misstep or whatever on the show where it seems like they're like, we don't know if we'll, like, we can fully commit to each other, like, whatever the hell. But, like, besides that, I mean, they seemed pretty legit. So that makes me sad. I really liked
them. I think there's something they could do to the format of, like, if they ever didn't Listen to Your Heart again, that could fix that problem. Like, there's just something about, like, you getting stuck with your partner or something like that. That kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they released music under, like, their combined, like, Brie and Chris. Like, that's what they released it under. Or Chris and Brie or whatever.
All right. Well, there was another breakup in Bachelor Nation. I guess it couldn't be. No. No. Yeah. I didn't predict it, did I?
We all predicted it. Dale and Claire have broken up. Yeah. I mean.
I knew it. I knew it.
I'm not shocked. We're not surprised. It Fatality. Didn't seem like it was going to work. I guess what it came down to was, you know, Dale didn't want to fully be as committed as Claire, I think, wanted to be. I mean, they were engaged. Like, he was, I don't want to say he was forced to propose to her, but I don't have, like, I feel like that was definitely, like, Why did they have to, like, we have only known each other for, like, a week and a half. Why did they have to be like, and here's Neil Lane with the rings for you?
I mean, I guess that's probably contractually they have to do that with Neil Lane. But I really truly think, like, I mean, anyone can sustain, get through the show and get engaged. But, like, she took it further. She added to the ridiculousness of getting engaged at the end of it by taking it further than the show and speaking for him pretty much in interviews and stuff like that. Just... she's setting her up to, like, fail. I said this, like, when the seasons were happening, but, like, she was saying stuff to not only just, like, try to make him look bad when they do actually eventually break up and stuff. Like, this is – and she actually – and that's the worst part is that she looks the worst. Like, he looks like a kid that is doing exactly what I would have done too in that same exact situation. There was ways she could have – and honestly, that's what you get. That's what you get. I think that's karma. She didn't do the show, and she thought, like, she went to a buffet or something and just wanted the one thing and she was done. It's like, nah, man, like, you don't get to come here and just pick the best one you want at the top. Like, that's not how this show works. You can't do that in real life. We didn't set up all this shit just for you to pick the cream of the crop. Like, you know, like, it's not a kid in a candy store's thing. Like, so good for Dale, I think.
I think good for Dale, too. He didn't want to, you know, he has a lot of stuff that he does, like, based out of New York and whatever. And he did not, I don't think he wanted to pick up and move his life to Sacramento.
The only way this would have worked out is if she successfully manipulated him, and she didn't, and she couldn't. You can't successfully, it's really hard to successfully manipulate people, too, when you look ridiculous on TV, where you have to, like, limit your comments on all your posts and stuff, because... like, people hate you just as much as Queen Victoria on this episode. You know, it's not good. So, anyways, with that being said, I told you so. And not you, but just everybody. I don't get to say that often. So, But V, why don't we get into this week's episode of The Bachelor? And
all right, let's do it. So this week's episode picks up and they're really keeping this dumb cold open thing going.
It
and
got
I
dumber
really,
this week. I was almost like, this is
dumber
dumb.
This week.
This is the making the show open, dumb now. Like,
It makes it, I don't know, like, tacky, like, look kind of dumb. Like, yeah, the cold open this week was like,
no, it's like they're starting the show like they end the show. And it's not, like, cool. Like, you know, in the credits, they'll, like, have the donkey scene. Why are you starting the show with the donkey scene? Like, I don't understand.
It just is dumb. So, anyways, but we pick up from the rose ceremony that we were, you know, got the to be continued from last week. Mm-hmm. And Sarah faints. Matt goes and deals with it. And this starts already the girls having issues with Sarah, being all like, she did this for attention and all this stuff, which I have to say, I don't really think she maybe fainted for attention. Sure, that's like a very tried and true bachelor, bachelorette, bachelor in paradise thing to be like.
She didn't faint. Maybe, she just was saying, I'm going to faint. Yeah, yeah. I do think like she was being over dramatic and stuff like that. Like, whatever. Like, she, exactly what the girls were saying. Like, you know, like, I'm like one to not like bully on somebody, or like I can pick out when people are bullying and stuff. There was a hint of bullying for sure. But
later in the show, fully piled on.
I don't care. I don't care though. Like, if people can bully and then admit that they're bullying and like bring it back afterwards, or like they're justified, or I feel like they were a little justified in like their anger towards it. Like, she was being manipulative. She was feeling like, come here and tell me to stay. It's like, don't you think we all want to feel like that? Like, we all feel like,
okay,
this.
Okay. Well, you're getting ahead of the rest of the episode. But okay. Anyways, so I give her a little bit of benefit of the doubt with the whole like fainting thing.
I know.
Because I have felt similar ways, so I could understand. And they're long days. If you're dehydrated, if you've got a lot of stress, it could happen.
No, the ridiculous part about it, though, is just like, you know, it's just she has more time than anyone else in the house. Like,
well, yes,
there's so
I
many
get
freaking
that. And
points.
I feel like the biggest thing that they've been making this season thus far about is about time, because they packed this season with more women than they have in past seasons. So I feel like it's such a lazy, honestly, it's like such a lazy point of drama for the show. For it to all be about like, well, blah, 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 she's getting more time, all this or that. So for me, like, I'm kind of like exhausted already by that being like the main like theme of everything that's happening, just because like they stopped it with too many women. And that just, I'm like, so you purposely had too many women so that it's always like,
but
all of them are going to fight.
I'm going to hit you with like, she's like break. That's why they have rules. I mean, that they're obviously not even letting people, they're not sticking to them, because they're just letting people like, they have group dates. A group date is meant for a group of people that were picked, not for you to go and steal everyone's time.
Yeah. So I agree. So, you know, moving into that, they do a group date where the girls who are on the group date have to write like pretty much like erotica, a steamy scene of them with Matt, after learning that, I guess, that Chris Harrison's book that he had up in the background of all of the greatest of all time shows that he did, where he would be like in his little office. I guess that's like a romance novel. Did not know.
I mean, it makes
did
sense. I'm sure he wasn't there sitting like, and then, you know, a fatherly bulge arose.
No.
You know, I don't know. But like, you know, I just think like, first of all, I thought this was a dumb challenge.
But Ashley, I was the host of it, because she is staying on that fucking payroll,
right,
with
I mean,
them.
I might be just a hater of this whole episode, but like, honestly, Ashley, I was a terrible person to pick for this date. Like, I feel like you could
use her. She was like the known virgin for like her stuff. So I don't know if that was supposed to be like part of like the arc of being like, now that she's not a virgin anymore, she's going to be the one leading this date.
That's not even cute or funny to me. Like, I don't even think that's like, there's so many other cool, like, I'd rather see her with Jared. Don't bring Ashley on a show by herself anymore, because she sucks by herself. I need to see you guys. For the reason why you guys are here is because they're pushing this, you can find love on the show until you guys get divorced. And so I just didn't think she was the best person for it and everything. But you got to see like some other personalities come out. Like, one interesting thing I saw about the dildo girl is that, or the vibrator Katie. Girl or whatever, is that she kind of broke out of, no pun intended, the mold of being the get it?
Just the vibrator girl. Yeah.
Which I thought that was a pretty interesting point, because I forgot that that's what she did, because she was able to kind of like steer in a different direction this episode. So
yeah. Sarah comes, then, you know, they have their, when they perform their stuff, they perform it in front of the other girls that aren't on the date. But then obviously the rest of them go back. They do their little cocktail portion of the group date. And then this is when Sarah decides that she's going to come and interrupt, because she's feeling some kind of way, because, you know, it's really hard for her to see everybody else making these connections while, you know, she has her feelings. They had such a great date, et cetera, et cetera.
What it was, they had such a great date, and all the girls were making him laugh, and he was enjoying all the erotica. She couldn't stand it. She's a immature girl that came on the show acting like she doesn't know how this works and stuff. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
We've seen it time and time again.
I don't like that part. And I also just feel like, she is like dealing with like her own shit, like with her family, like with her dad, with his ALS. And I think instead of kind of like dawdling around, like I can respect her wanting to talk to Matt and try to like figure out like, is it even worth her staying? But like not interrupting the date, I think that's a bad move. I think it was funny that Victoria was all like, I mean, of course I'm going to interrupt my own group dates, but not somebody else's. And I was like, oh my God. But I just feel like then, you know, Sarah goes off to spend the rest of the episode, like, holed up in her room for most of it. Like when they come down with,
she was hiding
from, they come down with a different date card. She's not there.
When you do something, when you do something messed up, you don't want to show your face. That's like essentially what
happened.
Well,
yeah. Cause then, you know, when she did show her face, when she did interrupt their group date, obviously Katie kind of like called her out about it. Cause she was like, hey, like you interrupted my time with Matt. Like,
and they had good points. Like straight up, you come and interrupt that date, two girls might go home, like, because of you.
Yeah. Yeah. She did say that. And she's like, you know, you got to figure out what you're feeling quick and you got to figure it out and like kind of go about and make your own decisions, which I totally agree with Katie. Like she does. Like, I think Sarah needs to like figure out her own shit and like either remove herself if she really can't deal with it or not. I don't think she needs to be like doing stuff with the other girls. But when she finally does come down from her room for like one of the other date cards, this is when the girls like really kind of pile on her. I feel like they blew it out of proportion when it came into being like, you're fake, you're whatever, you're this or that. And I think like she's got a lot going on and I think she didn't handle it quite the right way in the context of the show. But I don't really think, you know, they needed to like really like rail into her. Kit then being all like, if
she wouldn't
I ever
have gone
see
home
face
if they
again,
didn't though.
It's
she,
too soon. Like she, I just felt like that some of them were being bitchy for no
sure,
reason.
Sure, but like, I mean, the thing is though, like, It's all out of context for them too. Like, I mean, we're seeing it and we know her story, but like to her, she's just sitting there looking like a crybaby. And it's like, if you don't talk to people, we're not going to understand you. So it's not the girl's fault that they're just taking this as like blatant disrespect. I'm going to be on that side about it. Secondly, as a person that's like lost a parent, there was a time where I thought that I could like, that's like, that was worse than other people's lives or something like that. But like, it's going to happen to all of us. And we all go through different things that like, whatever you're going through right now is terrible, but you're kind of making it seem like this trumps everyone else's problems or everything else that we left behind and stuff. So I can get the girl's frustration in that end too. It's like, if this is like, whatever, keep that between you and Matt and you, if you're going to be here, don't bring it into our group dates. Don't try to get the poor me card. And I really truly think she falls in the category of like, I think you can be too hot for the show. And not saying I think she's like the hottest one or whatever like that, but like you legit, like in your real life, you probably get everything you want or anytime you like,
I mean,
want a guy.
She was hanging out with G-Eazy before he started dating
exactly.
Ashley Benson.
So we're talking about a girl that's already hanging out with celebrities before getting on a show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, her herself was on TV, I guess, as a reporter or something, but this is the way I look at it. If I'm dissecting it, she just was like, you know, couldn't handle the competition. And sometimes you could beat, it's kind of messed up, but maybe you're not as pretty as like the pretty girls, but maybe you're almost too pretty. So sometimes you kind of want to be in the middle because like the middle people kind of seem more grounded and they kind of are like always having to deal with like, maybe they got like a friend that's maybe not as good looking as them, but they also got a friend that's definitely better than looking than them, but they can hang with both, you know? That's the girl we're looking for in this show. You're looking for that girl. So that's a long rant, but
we're looking for that Goldilocks girl, you know?
Exactly. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. So, wow, that was beautiful. Well, anyways, I think, you know, it got down to the point where she just couldn't handle it anymore. And
she then, you know, she did. I liked Katie going and talking to Sarah and like kind of like trying to figure out more, I think was such a great conversation and I really enjoyed it because I think they both understood. And I think also, you know, Katie wanted to make sure that Sarah wasn't leaving just because like she felt bullied by the girls. And like Sarah made it evident. She's like, no, some of the stuff that some of the girls said was mean to me, but like I have my own other reasons. Like it's a combo. It's a lot of different things.
Yeah. And if anyone had to be mad over it all. It should have been her because her was.
It should have just been Katie. That's why, like, when some of the other girls were,
or maybe
like, really
some of the other
on...
girls that didn't get time on the group date, but like Katie specifically was the one that got interrupted and had to like defend her time and all this silliness that makes you kind of look stupid. But you know, I don't think she looks stupid, but you know what I'm saying. It's like you have to go back and like get your man back and do that whole thing. And it's like, I didn't have to do that before until you came and ruined our group date. So, kudos to her. Like I said earlier,
Katie was the star of this episode for me personally. I just thought she handled her stuff really well and didn't make it petty. And it just made it like, was very like logical, clear with like everything she was saying, and did connect with Sarah. While, you know, there's like the Victorias who literally, because Marilyn went home and she got to stay, she immediately turned her sights on Sarah to be all like, and now you're the girl that I think I hate. So it just like, to me, I'm like, what's
Well, can we talk about Victoria, like how she stayed this week, which was first of all, another stupid part about this episode where it's like, all right, yo, Matt, you're really keeping like lame ass bitches like, around, and or you're letting producers are keeping these things around and making it obvious that you're sending home possible good love potential because of
drama. Like Marilyn literally did nothing wrong.
She
and
legit
she got sent home.
A orchid
from
an
him,
hour
yeah.
before, not even an hour home. Before she got sent home over some dumb girl. Like, it's like, it's
over
crazy.
Dumb shit that's like, it wasn't even
over
a thing.
Over a girl
it
whose was, eye is like legit drooping as the episode goes on. What the hell was happening with her eye?
I don't know. Sis needs to figure it out. Like, her makeup, her skin, her something. She's got to figure it out, but.
There's no way a girl like this makes it this far. Like, a Corinne, or what was her name, right? Corinne? The
Corinne,
little
yeah.
blonde girl that like was kind of like, you know, hyper in the house and stuff. She was beautiful, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was like actually and she also had like a genuine connection with Nick at the time, I think. So it's like, you know, she's not even doing this right. She's just a mean girl. Like, it sucks.
She just I can only see it stemming from her own insecurities about herself, but it's just like it's a classic thing. Like, you know, she was bullied, now she's gonna bully. Like, it's just kind of like, it's like grow up. I don't know. I have no
circle of life.
I have no tolerance for that. But so I hope she goes home soon. I really don't see why she's gonna stay much longer than where we're at. So
I mean, if her eye doesn't do something in the next like week, she's definitely just going home for that. I think it was not my favorite episode.
No, because then the only one-on-one date that they showed was Serena P, and it was like the most run-of-the-mill one-on-one date. Like, it was good. They seemed like they really liked each other. They went horseback riding.
I like her a lot too. She's really dope.
I like her a lot too, but like, because like,
and
the
she
whole,
seems like the most realist contestant
like
I've seen in a long time. Like I felt like we were breaking the fourth wall because of like, she felt like a real person like me.
I agree. I felt like their date felt very normal, and like,
she was like normal. And I think, you know why? Because like, she's here for the right reasons. He's inexperienced at knowing how to do this process. So it literally looked like a first date. Like, you know,
it did. Like, that you could feel kind of like their butterflies, and you could feel like when they would maybe have like some awkward pauses, but it wasn't like anything crazy. Like, they seemed like, it seemed like a normal first date, which I feel like was refreshing to see, where it wasn't like, oh my god, like, we're in love with each other, which I feel like we
I'm
get a lot
proud of this
show.
Hot take, actually, I'm not gonna lie, you're not gonna hear this take anywhere else, but I really feel like we're so into the show that we can see through the dates and see like the real moments, actual real moments, and and I just felt it. Like, I was just like, wow, this is kind of like crazy how like she feels super normal. Like, she's not giving me a spiel about her life story or whatever. She just saw like, you know, what's your favorite color? Like, you know what I'm saying?
She's not like pulling out like sob story after sob story. Right. She was like very like normal and like kind of like even like talked about the process. And she's like, you know, I told you like I might be falling in like with you, which I thought was like cute and like kind of normal to feel that way for someone you've known for maybe like 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
Not even.
And I think that's a great seed to plant. Like, it's hard to know when the right time to plant something like that is, because most people do it at obvious times, like before you go home or like when you do see your family. But she did it like in episode 3. So good for her. She's going to go a long way, I think.
Yep.
So, anything else come out of this episode we should talk about? I didn't see anything like big about next week's episode. Oh, except for the fact that more girls are coming. This is a new thing they're doing.
More girls are coming.
So they're switching up the format of this show.
They're really, and like, I don't know.
I know what it is.
Why?
I know why.
Okay.
I don't know officially why, but I think why is because.
Your theory.
Well, my theory is they've done it now for the last two seasons. Wild card of the factor is COVID, and they were able to get as many girls as they possibly could for Matt's season. Yes, it seems like a lot, but those might just be some runover girls that have been looking at for other guys or something for a while. And then at least this gives them at least like another 2 weeks of quarantining new girls if they found them last second, you know? So I really truly think, and it also adds like a new element of drama to the show where these girls get comfortable. They might be fighting between each other, but new girls come in and for some reason the old girls all band together to hate the new girls. And it's just like this whole new spin on the show. So, I mean, they're testing out some things, obviously, with the new cold opens and the introduction of more girls like later on in the show. But you can tell that they're doing it like early on. They're doing it early on. So it's not like, because this is not Bachelor in Paradise, you know.
That's
an element of
Bachelor
in Paradise.
If they did any later than week four, like they're doing it on this, which in their world is probably like week two. Really,
well, what sucks is it would be an issue because you know he's a human being. Like most of the time, if they stick a really pretty girl in there and she's brand new, he's gonna want the new shiny thing.
He's gonna be like shiny, yeah.
It sucks. It's like that's an actual element, the new shiny thing. Man, watch out for the new shiny thing. Well, anyways, guys, that was this episode of The Bachelor this week.
Do you think Sarah's gone for real, or do you think she might like make her way back?
I mean, that would just be the cherry on top of a bullshit cake. Like, you know, I really thought this was a dumb episode, and that would just be like so dumb. Just as dumb as when Bennett came back. Just as dumb as, you know, when these guys, it's just dumb. It's just, I hate when they just break the rules. Like, you know, I just don't like it. And it doesn't even make for good drama right now. It's just more annoying.
No, I feel like, especially because it would have to be, it'd have to be really pre-planned if she like came back. Like
also, she was just like super shitty. Like I just feel like you would look like an asshole. Like you really don't care about your dad. Like you now you're just using that as an excuse to what? Like for one episode for poor me, and then now you don't care as much as you did last episode. Like and then also if you did care as much as you did last episode, I definitely don't want to see another episode of you doing that ever again, because I was like just leave. Like it's at the point where like halfway through the episode I was just like, I mean, I watched it with John and Ebony and I was like, she's gonna go home, and they're like, nah, she's gonna stay. I'm like, nah, just go home, because like no one's wants to be around this. Contestants, producers don't want you there crying and stuff. Like you have to go to the group things, like where you very rarely see where there's moments where people are like, where's Sarah? And it's like, oh, she's not coming down. It's like, that's not like supposed to happen. You're supposed to come down when everyone's together.
I mean, like, because that's even what like Corinne, like to bring back to Corinne, that's what she got, like, you know, that's what she got yelled at for during her season, was that she would go and nap instead of coming down for stuff. So
And also, yeah, it's just stupid because, like, it makes Matt look stupid, too, which is annoying part of all of it, because he's just like, you know, sorry about the thing that happened with Sarah yesterday, about to explain to the girls, but then he's like, doesn't see Sarah, and then has to be like, wait, give me 5 minutes, and then it turns into, like, 20 minutes, and he's laying in bed with her and stuff like that. This is not, like, if I wanted to see a reality TV show like Newlyweds or some dumb shit like that, I would take my time machine and go back to 2000 and watch this shit on MTV. I don't want that. If I wanted to watch you know, put a clock on New York, I'd go back and watch Rock of Love or whatever, like Flavor.
Okay, oh my God.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to flex how long I've been watching these things, so.
I know, you really are. Ooh, Cy watches all of the dating shows.
I've been watching them since the beginning. So, yeah, man, I hope next week's episode is a little better. I can enjoy it a little better, but we'll see.
We'll see what dumb cold open they do.
Right. Well, why don't we get
Wait.
Why don't we get into our slapper of the week? This song is by a group we've played as a slapper before. They're called Emotional Oranges, and the song is featuring this artist called Child. I believe it's the girl singing on it. Emotional Oranges, I believe, is a duo, two guys. I haven't really researched this group yet, but so far, two of their songs have been slappers on the show. So this is their newest one. It's called Bonafide by Emotional Oranges featuring Child. So without further ado, let's get into the vibes.
Slapper of the week.
This song slaps.
Slapper.
Are you okay sleeping through the silence? Give me space and time, allow us to become whole again. We deserve to try. Step aside your body, gotta think about that something inside you. Hold that fire in your soul. Oh,
we all need something, a little breakthrough. I won't let you down, no, I won't leave you. No matter what comes our way, we gon' make do. When the river runs dry, I won't give up on you.
Are you okay sleeping through the silence? Cause we're gonna fight, still I hear your tone is violent. And I'm surprised you keep saying you're too hard to love. Liar, baby, don't you tell me you're already done. Nah, yeah. Step outside your body, gotta think about that something inside you. Hold that fire in your soul. Oh.
We all need something, a little breakthrough. I won't let you down, no, I won't leave you. No matter what comes our way, we gon' make do. When the river runs dry, I won't give up on you. Give up on you.
Well, V, what'd you think of the slapper? Was that a vibe, bop?
It was definitely a vibe. It reminded me of something, and I can't place it. But
yeah, me either. But it's a good one. It's a good one to get in the car and vibe to, or whatever.
I know it does. It feels like a road trip kind of song.
It definitely is. V, what shout outs do you got this week?
Well, I wanted to first and foremost shout out everyone that helped make my birthday great.
That's me.
You all know who you are. So thank you for that. And then I also wanted to shout out my roommate, Rachel, who currently has COVID and her speedy recovery to feeling better. And then I wanted to shout out my friend Candace, who I just got her book in the mail today. So like, she's a real deal, written, published author, and so congrats to her.
I'm excited to read it. What's the book about? What's it called?
It's called like Black Girls Melody or something like that, but it's all about like, it's poems about growing up as a Black woman and like stuff with her family and like what it meant. And she went to Mizzou with me, so I think there's going to be some elements of when we had the different race protests and stuff at Mizzou. So I'm excited to read.
Cool. Well, congrats to her. Just a quick couple shout outs on my end. Just wanted to shout out Chef John and Ebony.
Yay!
I haven't seen them in a long time, so I got to watch The Bachelor with them this week. So shout out to you guys. It was really cool because we've been kind of like sticking to our little crew during this whole time. It's very little, but even with close people I'm with, it's been hard to kind of just like just go out and catch like, you know, a vibe with people and stuff sometimes. Not that we couldn't, but it's just, you know, we all do in our own worlds. But it's really nice to know you can go back and see some people, like things don't change. And you know, I'm looking forward to their wedding in May too, so congrats on the upcoming wedding. Yay. That we'll be partying at. Let's go. And then I also wanted to give a quick shout out to Caleb and Melissa. They've been a guest on the show, Compadres, and we got to see them this weekend, both of us. So they are, you know, really important people in my life. And I, you know, it was a very quick trip for them, but I got to see them at least a little bit, and it was awesome. So
yeah, it was good to see them.
They look like they're doing good. So shout out to them. And then I wanted to give a quick shout out to my mom. You know, we give those every once in a while to our moms, you know, for no reason, just because they're our number one fans and of our life and of the podcast. So, you know, she, I guess she gave up social media or her like something for January. So it's kind of weird. I feel like I haven't seen her, because like usually I see pictures or just feel likes, yeah, or, you know, little hearts here and there. But so she hasn't been on there, and you know, I miss her, and I wanted to shout her out. Oh, she also got me this. It was supposed to come for Christmas, but it's her name is Marty, but she got me a Marty McFly Puffy Jess.
Oh my God, I love those little guys. The little pop.
Yeah,
guys,
pop action.
So you got
figure.
A Back to the Future one.
Yeah, he's holding the camera where he's filming the DeLorean, and he's got the whole outfit. So I really love it. I should love you, Mom. Thank you so much. And yeah, guys, I mean, that's pretty much our show. I don't have anything crazy planned for this weekend, but it's kind of like I'm trying to not do as much, you know, save a little bit of money. Been investing in those stocks. In cryptocurrency. So it's like the more money I can put in that, the more fun I'll have when I'm old. So, you know. But what do you got planned? Anything? What are you going to do you with your new hat? You going to go out and stunt?
I don't know. I don't really have any main plans. You know, I have therapy this weekend. That's always a time.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's it. I don't really have any plans. I too, you know, spent a lot of money for Christmas and, you know, treating myself to some stuff for my birthday. So now I gotta reel it back in.
Right. I mean, wedding season's come back up. I got two weddings over the next 5 months, so that's always like a hotel.
How many weddings do I have?
Money.
I have one, two in the next like 4 months, and then 3, 4, 5, 6 maybe this whole year. 5 or 6 this whole year.
That's a little ridiculous. I don't know if I could go to 6 weddings in 1 year.
I've gone to 3 within a 3-week span before, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see how it goes.
I think at that point, like, you have to pick and choose. It just doesn't seem like, it almost seems ridiculous to go to all 6 weddings and spend all that money just to be a part of someone's union that. It would just be a bad year for me. Like, I just don't think I would be able to realistically, like, look myself in the mirror and be like, I wasted a lot of my PTO and all this stuff on other people's, like, you know, lives and stuff. But that's just a whole year. I mean, one or two weddings, like, you know, I can handle. I think I've done 4 the most, but they were like strategically spread out through the year. So it was like,
I have three
weddings in 3 weeks. I would have definitely called at least one of them off. Like, there's just no fun.
Yeah, no. There were 3 within like 4. It was like something crazy.
Your FOMO is through the roof.
Yeah, no.
I know.
No, it's because all of them were. It's because all of them were like, and they were like the same friend group. So it was like in a row.
See, that would be even piss me off even more. It's like, you guys are just assholes. We could have done this on one weekend. Well, anyways, guys, no offense to your friends. They're not assholes, but you know.
Yeah, Jesus.
I know. When I thought about it, I was like, I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about a fictional version of what they did. But guys, with that being said, love your husband or wife. And I hope you guys had a great wedding. And we hope you stay together longer than Claire and Dale. So, guys,
yeah.
This has been Future Bachelor. You know, we're about to hit 150 here in a couple weeks, so I'm getting pretty excited about that. But I'm hoping to get through. Like, work's been a little busy for me. Like, my life's been a little busy the last couple weeks, so I'm hoping to catch up and feel like we're back on track with things. Because
I know. Same with Same with me getting guests because it's been a little rough. Right. But we're getting there.
Okay. Well, we love you guys. You know, we'll see you next week. This has been Future Bachelor. My name is Cy.
I'm Veronica.
And you know what it is. Deuces!
Bye!